Let us bow our heads in prayer. Creator God, we thank you for the gift of life. Comfort those who feel as if their life doesn't matter, and bring to repentance those who believe some lives are not worth protecting. Bless all organizations that help people choose life for their unborn children. Forgive those who are grieved by their past sins against life. And in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to give all of us a new life, in his name, amen. The text that I have selected this morning to center our message around comes to us from Psalm 41, verses 1 and 2. And it reads as a court like this: Oh, the joys of those who are kind to the poor. The Lord rescues them when they are in trouble. The Lord protects them and keeps them alive. He gives them prosperity in the land and rescues them from their enemies. Psalm 41, verses 1 and 2. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we're going to take a look this morning at a biblical view of the life of life that begins and ends, of course, with Jesus Christ. We learn to value life from the moment of fertilization, for example, because the Son of God, who was God and is God, took on the form of a servant, as recorded in Philippians 2, verse 7. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a servant or a slave, and was born as a human being. He was formed in the womb of his mother Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as a real live human being, when he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And so we learn from Christ to value the human body, for his was fearfully and was wonderfully made, knit together by the Father, and at his baptism was anointed by the Holy Spirit, and was in fact the temple of God, and therefore was worthy to be honored and treated as holy by his followers, even after his death and his burial. So also are the bodies of all human beings, being created in the image of God, for they too are fearfully and wonderfully made by the Father. And as he knits them together in their mother's wombs, and more than that, the bodies of the baptized, by having the Holy Spirit indwell in them, are also temples of God, to be treated as holy in the sight of God, and not just shells that we are to discard. We learn from the universal atonement which Christ accomplished by his death on the cross that God the Father Almighty loves all of humanity. He loves all of humanity and desires for all to be saved, as it is recorded in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. That is why God the Father sent his Son, Jesus Christ. He came as an appeasement for all of our sins, not only for ours, but for the sins of the entire world. Rich or poor, young or old, male or female, child in the womb, or a great grandpa whose body has grown weak, we learn a biblical Christian view of life from Jesus Christ himself, who in his own body and soul together has fulfilled and carried out the words of Psalm 41, 1 and 2, which is our theme passage for today, this Life Sunday celebration. Oh, the joys of those who are kind to the poor. The Lord rescues them when they are in trouble. The Lord protects them and keeps them alive. He gives them prosperity in the land and rescues them from their enemies. Now, before any of us can consider how we might care for those who are weak and lowly, that certainly come to us each and every day in our own lives, we must hear these words and apply them to our Lord Jesus. For he is the one who considers the poor, the weak, and the lowly. He is the one who sees a sinful, wretched humanity, dead in our own trespasses and sins. And he sees our helpless and sinful condition, not as a reason to avoid us and stay away, but rather he was the one who sees our sin and our lost and condemned situation. And that is the very reason why he comes down to earth to be our Lord and Savior. That great love that God the Father has certainly is shown in what he did and how he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who will endure even hatred and betrayal in order to act in love and deliver the lives whom the Father formed and knit together in the wombs of their mothers. On the night that he was betrayed after washing the feet of his disciples, Jesus is quoted a portion of the psalm in reference to Judas Iscariot and the act of betrayal which he was soon going to bring about. The scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. And I am telling you this, before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. And this is how he loves us to the end, when he knew no sin, became sin, and was delivered up to his enemies for all of our trespasses, to be crucified for our deliverance. And even then, in his suffering and in his death, he would act in love toward those who had become his enemies. When he was reviled by people, he did not revile them. When suffering, he did not lash out with the wild threats, but he continued entrusting himself to the Father who judges justly as he bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. And it is by this act of loving deliverance and the wounds which he earned in that process that the lowly in this world have healing. Jesus knew that there was no need to depart from the acts of love which the Father had given to him, acts to which he was completely obedient, even to the point of death. He knew that he could bear all the pain and the hatred and the vengeance that sinful humanity could dish out, because in the end his death would give way to life. And in his resurrection, he would be glorified and he would be revealed to the world. And it would be revealed to the world as a victory. And the great news is God the Father accepted his perfect sacrifice. His resurrection shows that victory over sin, death, and the devil. And it also reinforces the value of lives that he came to save. The one who considers the lowly in this world, he is the one who is risen from the dead. And with his ascension, then, he reigns in the presence of his Father. And so we continue to learn from his biblical Christian view of life. Though we are lowly, and at times we have confessed this, chief of sinners, he considers us worthy to come and to give his life so that we would be rescued and redeemed. Is there anyone here this morning who is outside of the love of God? And the answer to that question is no. Is there anyone whom the Lord does not want to comfort with the preaching of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ? And the answer is no. But what about those among us who are stricken? Stricken by guilt or shame because of something we might have said or done. Blessed, and we are blessed in the one who considered such people worthy to come and shed his blood so that they and we would be delivered from guilt and shame with the promise of life and the forgiveness of all of our sins. How about those who have been given a terminal diagnosis, who are stricken with poverty, who have suffered the loss of a spouse, who are enduring a mental disability, or who have endured the hostility of others? Well, blessed is the one, Jesus Christ, who has given his body into death, so that those very people too would know that nothing can separate them from the love of God. Some of you may have children who have abandoned the faith. What about those? What about those who suffer temptations which cause their consciences to be stricken, or which make them embarrassed? What about those who think that there is no room for them in the church? What about those who have suffered acts of violence or hatred or even betrayal from the hands of those who claim the name of our Lord Jesus Christ? Blessed is the one and only Jesus Christ who teaches us with his life and with his love, who redeems the lost with his death, and who renews the troubled with his resurrection. Blessed is the one who brings forgiveness to the nations. How? By baptizing them and identifying them as those who are loved by God. Blessed is the one, Jesus, who feeds the lowly among us with his very body and blood, so that those who receive his Holy Communion might be raised up with Christ and united to him, and thus might be those who also consider the lowly. Unfortunately, in our world, many want to rank life in order of importance. But I'm here today to proclaim to each and every one of you that every human being is equally worthy of life, because God creates and God values life. He values the life of that tiny unborn baby, the child in foster care, and also the woman who chose abortion. He values the lives of people who have disabilities and people in nursing homes who struggle maybe even to remember their own family. He even values the lives of people who seek to destroy life. Now, if the love of God is for all of us, then it is also for everyone. And so we learn this morning from the Christ, a biblical Christian view of life. God calls us. He calls us to speak the truth in love to others. He calls us to tell them that their life and all human life is precious in the sight of their Redeemer. It is that Redeemer who gave his life to save them and to forgive them and also to give them an abundant life. And so this day, as we think about the sanctity of life and life itself, we are reminded again by our Lord Jesus Christ the value of every human life, from infancy to my age. May God bless us and keep us in the one true faith until we, too, reach life everlasting. And so we pray. Creator God, protect the precious gift of life that you give to all people, especially the smallest and the most vulnerable among us. And all of God's precious people said, Amen.